Welcome back. The final hour of today's edition of the Chad Hasty Show here on News Talk 790 KFYO. Rush Limbaugh coming up next at 11 o'clock. You can listen, remember, online, KFYO.com. And with the Radio Pup app, you can take the show wherever you go. Absolutely free to download on your iPhone or Android phone. Crystal clear audio there. 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. Andrew, first voice you hear from when you dial into today's program. We continue to take a look at the candidates, election 2014, and one of the deeper races, or one of the races with a lot of different candidates in it, is the race for U.S. Senate in the Republican primary. You've heard John Cornyn's name. You've heard of Steve Stockman's name. And then there are a bunch of other candidates. We've had a few of the candidates on, and today we have another candidate on challenging John Cornyn in the Republican primary, Ken Cope, in studio with me. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Chad. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to be able to speak to all your listeners across all of Texas and the wide range that we reach.
Well, I appreciate you being here. Tell folks a little bit about yourself and your background.
I'd love to. At the age of 18, I went into the military as a private, and 27 years later, I came out as lieutenant colonel. So I know how to stick to things and make commitments. While in the reserves, I ended up going into the corporate America, into one of the largest aerospace manufacturers in the world. Started as a cost control specialist and ended up 28 years as a corporate executive. And I gained a reputation of being a problem solver and one of the people that they bring the problems to so they can get them remedied. So I've got a wide range of experience. I've got my undergraduates in accounting, my corporate, my master's is in corporate finance, and I like to say I have a PhD in practical experience and common sense, something you don't find in Washington, D.C.
Well, let me ask you this. This is obviously a big primary, U.S. Senate. You have to travel all over the state.
Yes.
Large state, obviously. Why did you decide to jump in?
Excellent question. As I look at it, I'm scared to death of what I see this country becoming and where it's going. And it really boils down to a lack of leadership, primarily with our senior senator, Senator Cornyn, has been a failed leader. And a lot of the direction that I see going and the statism that's happening has been that we don't have someone that's really fighting back. And I believe that we need to have a senator that isn't warming the seat, but one that's standing up and willing to fight. And I look at I have five grandchildren, and the actual fear that I have is one day they're going to come to Grandpa and say, Grandpa, why didn't you do something to save our country? And after this election, I'm not going to have to worry about my answer for that. So I have a vested interest in this country. I'm a capitalist that believes in conservative social and fiscal values, and I didn't see that we have a lot of people standing up against the coronation, as I call it, and the cozying up to the establishment and the big money, because I'm financing this on my own. I'm against the corporate finance issues that I see going on in this election, and I make commitments to the citizens of Texas as to what it means to me as a man of integrity and how I'm going to address it. So you can go to my website, copetexas.com, and you can see not just the issues, as most politicians give you, but since I'm not a politician and this is the first time I've ever run, you're going to see solutions. And many people want to understand who I am. You can't Google me because I've never been in jail or in trouble. And, my career has been one that's kept me in just doing what every average citizen does, and that's paying my taxes, abiding by the law, raising my family, and working through a career. So I relate to the people of Texas, and I think I have a voice, and I'd be proud to represent them and stand arm to arm as a Tea Partyist with Ted Cruz and to make real changes to support Texans, not forgetting who you work for, and that is the citizens of Texas.
Well, and you talk about leadership in Washington, D.C., and you spoke about how you just don't see that leadership from John Cornyn. His campaign would probably come back and say, well, but look at his votes. His votes, he has been rated, I believe, the second most conservative U.S. senator. That is something that his campaign has put out. He has had endorsements from a lot of conservative areas that say he's conservative. So how do you separate that from lack of leadership?
Again, you've got some very pointed and very good questions. And first of all, he has gone through a career of as a career politician. And I have gone out in practical experience and common sense through my entire career. I don't have a lot of people tracking me and my conservative record. I do question how you end up being the number two conservative rated in the country when you vote eight times to increase the national debt. I would not have voted once. When you start looking at the Obamacare activity that went on back in October, and he voted for closure on that bill, and basically he needs to put his name on it as Corning Care. And since President Obama is running from it, he's responsible for not standing up and fighting when, you know, military has taught me that when you're going to go into a fight, you pick the time and location. And when you have the upper ground, you exploit it. He doesn't understand any of those tactics. And that's part of leadership. His responsibility, leadership-wise, was to unify the caucus in the Senate. And he actually has been a divisive influence in that environment and caused friction and problems even within the state of Texas representation, just the two senators. He says that he's Tea Party, but his actions are not welcomed by the Tea Party. And having traveled the state, I'm hearing it firsthand from people that I understand he's got a lot of money and everyone thinks that he's going to win this race by a landslide. But I'm going to tell you, the citizens of Texas are unhappy, and that's from coast to coast and border to border. They are not happy. And it's like they're in the desert and they're looking for a glass of water. So leadership is the key issue, and I don't believe that he does it. And campaign finance money is a perfect example. You do things because, as a leader, you do them because they're right, not because it's legal, but because it's right. The money that he's raised, $10 million in the last 6 years, it's a revolving door. And citizens of Texas smell it. It stinks. It's not right. And that's a perfect example of where you failed in leadership.
Something I brought up earlier in the show, and you've been hanging out, you've been watching the show today. You heard me talking about how there are two different types of Republicans right now, it seems. The type of Republicans who are they want to sit back and maybe bring people together, have everybody kind of agree. They don't want to rock the boat too much. And then you have the Republicans, some would say like a Ted Cruz, like a Rand Paul, like even a Marco Rubio, who get out there and say, you know what? These are my values. This is where I stand on issues. I may lose the vote, but people are going to know where I stand. What is the best approach in your mind?
Well, you have to tailor it against each one of the different arguments that you're in. I've been negotiating contracts in aerospace, billion-dollar programs that I've been involved in, and you have to learn how to negotiate. And those are skill sets that I don't believe that our leadership in Washington, D.C. or our senior senator have an understanding of negotiations. So when you say, where do you draw the line? You have to have principles. Defending the Constitution, our Fourth Amendment, and the Ninth and Tenth Amendments about state rights and the rights of people for the things that aren't granted to the federal government by the Constitution belong to the state and the people. Those are some things that we have to take very strong stands against. And we're seeing the push towards what I've been counseled not to use, the poison words, socialism. But let's call it what it is. You know, I say what I mean what I say. And socialism is at rampant in the different policies that we see, from Obamacare to the statism activities going on in EPA and the Department of Education. And by the way, I love listening to General Abbott's discussion about education. There's only one thing that I felt that he missed, and that was that he's got to have some federal help to stop the Common Core push and to push the things that I believe that the Department of Education would be better as a parking lot in Washington, D.C., and moving all that money right back to the state along with the responsibility for that in the local and parents. So you have to pick the battle, and I did like Green Eggs and Ham and the Ted Cruz standing up and speaking for on principle. And we don't have enough people to stand up in principle. We have career politicians in Washington, and I equate them to the money changers in the temple. And it's incumbent upon us as citizens to exercise our individual rights, that one right to vote, to limit term. And I'm a term limit guy. I take it voluntarily, but you have to have some principles to stand on. So when you have to know when to fight and when not to, and you can't capitulate before you even get into a debate and a discussion. And that has been an overwhelming trend of Senator Cornyn and Mitch McConnell, as you were talking about earlier. And they capitulate before they even get into the fight. And they'll say it's over over tactics. I don't want to shut the government down. And then 30 days later, they want to shut the government down. That's hypocrisy. Mm. And that's a lack of principle. It's a lack of leadership. And that's what I think we need to change.
We need to take the break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Ken Cope. You can visit his website, copetexas.com. We'll take the break. We'll be right back here on the Chad Hasty Show. Back on the Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Thank you very much for tuning in. In studio with me right now, Ken Cope. You can visit his website, copetexas.com, running for U.S. Senate in the Republican primary against Senator John Cornyn. And we've talked about leadership. We've talked about some of the Yes. areas where you disagree with the senator on those issues. Let's take a look at some of the things that are making news. President Obama threatening use of executive orders. And many people are frustrated out there that you don't see many people in the Senate, many people in the House, politicians. John Boehner posted on Facebook, which is nice. But you don't have anyone really taking action. Do you think that there needs to be action taken? Do you think that senators those in Congress across party lines, you know, Republicans and Democrats mm-hmm. need to stand up against this type of abuse of power?
Absolutely. You know, as I told you earlier, I mean what I say and I say what I mean. And I believe that this is really a travesty and it's against the Constitution. And the senators have a responsibility. I'll speak to the senators as opposed to the House at this point, since that's the position I'm asking the Texans to put me in. They have a responsibility to stand up and fight against it. And had I been in that position in this situation, I'd be fighting against it. I'd be looking for every opportunity, every tool I could put in my toolbox, every arrow I could put in my quiver, and I would be ready to use it. The absolute attack on the Constitution, first of all, it's against his oath that he took. And a lot of people will talk about impeachment. There's a lot of activities here. I'm only bringing it up because it is out in the press. But there are a lot of things that senators can do. I believe that one of the tools in a toolbox is where the Senates have the advice and consent clause, in which to they do that for the cabinet officers and so on. And I don't believe that that's a perpetual. That once you say yes, it's perpetual. And I think when they're turning off and rebelling against Congress that's asking for data and shutting them out, that okay, if you're going to start playing these games, and we can start withdrawing our advise and consent and actually disapprove cabinet members. And if they're going to be enforcing and doing things that are in violation of the Constitution that the caucus would agree. And by the way, I do believe that we're going to make the Senate red come November, and we can keep Texas red without John Cornyn in the name of Ken Cope and his replacement. And I believe that once we have that majority position, we ought to be exercising some new ideas and trying to find out what are the things we can put in that in the quiver and in the toolbox.
What are some of your, off the top of your head, what are some of those ideas?
Well, that exactly what I just mentioned was the primary one. We ought to be looking at removing cabinet members. There's obvious examples where they are trouncing upon the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. And I think we have to exercise control. You've got the purse strings, but that takes a long time to occur. What the president is doing with the executive orders, those are happening today, and he's already been doing those. And I think that the caucus has to be unified and standing up and saying this is wrong and we will not allow it. And if it looks a little bit obstructionist, as you said in your earlier segment, there is a time for you to stand up and fight. And I don't believe that we've shown a backbone as a Republican Party.
So, something that you've listed on your issues and solutions page is a constitutional convention. Tell me a little bit about what you would like to see happen.
Oh, that's a great subject. There are so many things that are absolutely ripe. First of all, I'm all for repeal of the 17th Amendment, and understand the 17th Amendment, which is the one that allows me to run for Senate and obtain popular vote. I believe, is the core of much of our problem in this country. It's allowed us to have senators that have become career politicians, where the senator should be working for the state. You know, the framers of the Constitution put in place a method where the House of Representatives is voted by the public, and so is the president. The states at that point had the opportunity, pardon me, to have influence into the federal government to stop it through the senators. When they took that away from the legislature, the senators no longer work for the legislature or for the governor. And I believe that that would be one of the first items. Obviously, term limits, I think, would be another key item. I believe that we should be limiting the federal budget expenditure to a percentage of the GDP. So if the GDP goes up, you have an increase in budget. But it's a fixed amount, and it's got to be a balanced type approach. So I think I'd also expand on the term limits. The one I love, and I've seen that Mark Levin has come out in Liberty Amendments, and I actually had my positions before I bought and read his book, and the one that he had gone beyond me on was the Supreme Court and the federal judges also being term limited. I think it's people get soft. They get cushy. And we don't need that. We need people that are willing to get involved, get fight, and go home, as the Lincoln Republicans were doing.
As far as term limits go for Senate, how long?
2 years.
2 years.
Two terms. Two terms. Let me clarify that. 2 terms.
2 years. You would not get a lot done in two years.
No, I agree. I believe that 2 terms is the limit. That if I would be so blessed to be elected to be the representative of Texas in the United States Senate, I have a voluntary commitment that under no circumstances would I stay beyond 2. And that's a personal commitment. Hold me to it. Call me a liar, whatever. But that won't happen because, I believe that my integrity is more important than anything else I have in this world. When I leave and I stand in front of the judgment chair, there's only one thing I get to take. It's not my blue jeans. It's not my cowboy boots. It's my integrity, and I'm not going to violate it.
Visiting with Ken Cope, you can visit his website, copetexas.com. And I think we have a question that's coming in. So if you want to pop on those headphones there, we have a question from a listener here. Let's go to the phones. And Bobby, you are on with Ken Cope.
All right. Well, thank you for running, Ken. I think you've had a great idea of repealing the 17th Amendment. I think that fundamentally altered the balance of power between the federal government and the states. But I think once you open this up, I think you should go ahead and repeal the 16th, 17th, and 18th Amendments. Those were all done by progressives at the backing of Woodrow Wilson. And the only argument you need is the 19th Amendment granted women the right to vote. And since these all came in a relatively short time period, just repeal all three of them on the grounds that the smarter a portion of our population didn't get to vote on. And don't even argue the merits. Just go ahead and get the income tax state and prohibition all in one fell swoop.
Well, I don't know that I would go that far, but what I'm planning on releasing in the next week to two is an absolute plan to replace the IRS which is what you're addressing with the 16th Amendment. And concurrent with that is I believe that we should also support and go into the Federal Reserve. I like to call it the private reserve because we really don't have visibility as what they do. They have so much ability to generate debt for our country, and they point where it's going to be paid for, but more importantly, it's a guaranteed 6% return. Yet when you look at Social Security Trust Fund, the only thing that the general fund pays back to the trust fund is 4.2%. So I think we've got to pierce into that, which is part of the same thing in 1913 when these amendments came in, but absolute replacement of the IRS, working in the Federal Reserve, and the other items that we've talked about.
Ken Cope, I appreciate your time today. CopeTexas.com, C-O-P-E, Texas.com.
And I'm here to fix Texas and fix the government.
Ken, thank you very much.
Thank you.